Scripture reading for this last worship service of the year 2011 is taken from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3, and we will read the first 23 verses. Lamentations 3, beginning at verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So far the reading of God's word, and the text for the sermon tonight is taken especially from the last part of verse 23. Great is your faithfulness, but we will also make reference to the sermon to the first part of verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word. Congregation, is our confession of faith tonight. I would like you to turn with me to our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Days 9 and 10. You can find this on page 37 in the back of your Psalter. Of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Days 9 and 10, page 37. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. What do you mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things, come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand? What advantage is it to us to know that God has created, and by his providence does still uphold all things, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. So far our confession. Beloved congregation, in a few hours we will come to the end of another year. The year 2011 will pass into history, and the year 2012 will begin. It's customary at the end of a year to look back and to assess what kind of year was it. And what shall we say in answer to that question? What kind of year was the year 2011? Well, like most other years, it was a good year for some and a not so good year for others. For some, it was a year of prosperity. For some, it was a year of adversity. For some, it was a year of health. For others, it was a year of sickness or continuing sickness. For some, it was a year of great joy and happiness. For others, a year of sadness. For some, a year of peace and stability. For others, a year of upheaval. And for most of us, it was probably something in between these two extremes. But whether this year was a good year or a bad year, one thing is absolutely certain. And that is one thing that I trust all of us here can say tonight. And that is that the Lord was faithful. He has given everything that we stood in need of, both materially as well as spiritually, even though we have done nothing to deserve it. And therefore, congregation, it is most fitting at the end of this year to end this year by extolling and praising God for His faithfulness. And that is exactly what the prophet Jeremiah does in the words of our text in Lamentations 3, the verses 22 and 23. He writes, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." In this verse, Jeremiah declares the great faithfulness of God. And that's our theme tonight. And we'll consider, first of all, the shocking circumstances of this declaration, and secondly, the abundant evidence for this declaration. The book of Lamentations, congregation, from which our text tonight is taken, was written by the prophet Jeremiah. And it was written to commemorate the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in the year 586 BC. This book consists of five laments, one lament for each of its five chapters. The first lament, chapter 1, describes in great detail the destruction of the city. The second lament, chapter 2, explains the causes of this destruction. It is the wrath of God. God was angry with His people for their idolatry. The third lament, chapter 3, expresses Jeremiah's grief over this destruction. The fourth lament, chapter 4, provides further details of this destruction. And the fifth lament is a prayer to God that He would restore His people and rebuild the city. Now, the words of our text tonight are found in the third lament, almost in the very center of this book. Many commentators regard this lament to be the very climax of the book. And that is because in this chapter, especially in verses 19 through 38, Jeremiah expresses his hope and his confidence in the Lord. And that is expressed especially in the words of our text. Through the Lord's mercies, We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah in our text declares, proclaims, we could say, the great faithfulness of God. Great is your faithfulness. The word faithful means dependable, reliable. And so when Jeremiah says that God is faithful, he's saying that God is always dependable. He can always be relied on. He can always be trusted. He always comes through for us. What he means, he says. What he promises, he does. He is faithful. We worship a faithful God. What is more, Jeremiah says he is supremely faithful. He doesn't just say God is faithful. He says that his faithfulness is great. Great, he says, is your faithfulness. One of the psalmists in Psalm 36, verse 5, puts it this way. He says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God's faithfulness is as great as the distance between us and the highest clouds. And that's, of course, a figure of speech, meaning that it has no bounds. God is so faithful, you cannot even begin to measure it. His faithfulness has no beginning and it has no end. His faithfulness is supremely great. And that's what Jeremiah declares in our text. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, congregation, at first glance, these words of our text seem somewhat out of place, don't they? First of all, they are out of place in light of the historical context. I said a moment ago that the book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah to commemorate the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The Babylonians had come in the year 586 BC and they had utterly destroyed the entire city, including the temple that Solomon had made. They tore down the walls and they carried away captive all of the citizens, most of the citizens of the city. And that was, of course, because the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, despite the many warnings that were issued to them by the mouth of God's prophets, they refused to repent of their idolatry. They refused to turn to the Lord in faith and repentance. And the Lord said, if you don't do this, if you don't stop worshiping these idols, I'm going to send a heathen nation and they're going to come and take away your place out of the promised land and they're going to destroy this city. And that's exactly what happened. In the year 586, God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, the great and mighty king of Babylon. And he, with his forces, surrounded the city of Jerusalem for 2 years. And in the end, they completely destroyed it and carried away most of its people into captivity. We read of that in 2 Kings 25, the verses 1 through 21. We read there how in the ninth year of the reign of King Zedekiah, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem and besieged it. And it was a terrible siege. The people of Jerusalem suffered like they had never suffered before. And we read of that in the preceding chapters of the book of Lamentations. We read there about people begging for bread. We read of the elders of the city sitting on the ground in silence, clothed in sackcloth, casting dust on their heads. We read of children starving, pleading with their parents for something to eat, anything, falling like flies in the streets from lack of food. We read of young people and old people lying dead, heaps upon heaps in the streets, people clothed in rags, sitting on piles of human waste, mothers boiling their own children and eating them.
you can imagine. Women and young girls being raped in the streets. Princes being hanged up by their hands. Young men forced to grind wheat and corn like animals. It's a scene of almost unimaginable pain. Unimaginable suffering and destruction. And it lasted for 2 long years. At the end of those years, the Babylonians finally broke through the walls of the city. Zedekiah and his men tried to escape, but they were captured in the plains of Jericho. Zedekiah was taken to Riblah, to the king of Babylon, and there they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. And then they plucked out his eyes and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him off to Babylon. About a month later, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, came to Jerusalem to finish the job that Nebuchadnezzar had begun. He burned the city to the ground. He broke down its walls. He completely destroyed the temple. He broke up the 2 bronze pillars and the bases and the brazen sea and sent the pieces off to Babylon, as well as all the utensils and all the furnishings of gold and silver and brass that belonged to the temple. He sent it all to Babylon. And then he took the chief priests and several officers of the army, some of the king's staff, and 60 men of the city picked at random. And he brought them also to the king of Babylon, and they were slain before his eyes. And the only ones left in the promised land were the very poor, the destitute. They were left to tend whatever fields were worth tending. Everyone else was carted off to Babylon. And Jeremiah saw all of these things with his own eyes. He lived through these events. And he writes about it here in the book of Lamentations. And right in the middle of this book, of all things, he declares, "Great is thy faithfulness." It seems out of place. It seems out of context. Secondly, these words are out of context, at least they appear to be out of context in light of the immediate context, in light of their literary context. Lamentations 3, from which our text is taken, begins in verses 1 through 17 with Jeremiah issuing a whole string of complaints against God. And he complains that God has led him and made him walk in darkness and not in light. God has turned his hand against him time and time again throughout the day. He aged his flesh and his skin. He broke his bones. He besieged him and surrounded him with bitterness and woe. He set him in dark places like the dead of long ago. He hedged him in so that he cannot get out and made his chain heavy. He shut out his prayer even when he cried and shouted to God. He blocked his ways with hewn stone and made his paths crooked. He was to him a bear lying in wait and like a lion in ambush. And it goes on and on throughout the entire chapter. Jeremiah complaining about God and about how God has treated him. Now, whether Jeremiah was referring primarily to himself or whether he was merely personifying the city of Jerusalem and the people of Jerusalem is not clear, nor does it really matter. The point is that Jeremiah suffered terribly. The people of Jerusalem suffered terribly. But in the midst of all of this suffering, in the midst of all of this destruction, Jeremiah declares, "Great, great is the faithfulness of God." We learn something here, congregation. We learn that no matter how bad our circumstances may be, no matter how great our trials and hardships might be, no matter how much pain we are made to suffer, God remains faithful. He is faithful at all times. In all circumstances, even when everything seems to be going against us, He is faithful. And His faithfulness is great. And therefore, we should praise Him. Many examples of this in the Holy Scriptures. I think, for example, of Job. Job is one of the wealthiest men who ever lived. He had flocks and herds and possessions in great abundance. And the Lord took it all away in a single day. He even took away his own children. And how did Job respond to all of this? We read that Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and he worshipped. He worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord." For 7 days, David lay on his face to the ground before the Lord in the hope that God might spare his infant son, who was sick and at the point of death. And when the child finally died, what did David do? He rose from the ground, he washed, and he anointed himself, and he changed his clothes, and then he went into the house of the Lord to worship. The Apostle Paul was a man who experienced great trials and great hardships in his life. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked and persecuted. Sometimes he had to go without food and drink and warm clothing. And yet, in 2 Corinthians 4, he could write, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You see the point? No matter how difficult our lives may be, no matter what trials and hardships we've been made to experience in this past year, God is always faithful. No matter how dark things may be for us, even spiritually, God is always faithful. And therefore we can say with Jeremiah also tonight, "Great, great is your faithfulness." Is that also our testimony tonight? I said earlier that the year 2011 may not have been the best year for some of us. Some of us have lost loved ones. Others are still dealing with the pain of the loss of loved ones. Some of us maybe perhaps have had a hard time making ends meet. We may have experienced difficulties and trials in our marriage life and in our family life with our children. We may have had to cope with an ongoing sickness and disease, the infirmities that inevitably come with old age. We've all had our share of trials. The congregation, as we look back upon the year that is now behind us, can we say, in spite of it all, God is faithful. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to my family. He's been faithful to us as congregation. You know, there are two ways that we can respond to trials and hardships in life. We can become bitter and angry and resentful like Job's wife, like Lot's wife, Job's wife. Or we can say, "Curse God and die." And many people live like that. They're so bitter, so angry, so resentful. Or we can, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our suffering, yet praise God for His faithfulness. What's your response as we close out the year 2011? Oh, may God give us grace that we may respond as Jeremiah responded, praising God, extolling God, magnifying God for the greatness of his faithfulness. Shocking circumstances. And yet Jeremiah says, great is your faithfulness. What's the evidence for this faithfulness? Jeremiah says that God's faithfulness is great. What's the proof? You look around you, the city of Jerusalem burning, its people being carted off to Babylon, dead people lying the streets piled high, dead bodies everywhere. You wonder, where is the faithfulness of God in that? Has Jeremiah lost his mind? Does he see something that we don't see? Isn't it strange that he would say this? What's the evidence of the faithfulness of God in the midst of all of this destruction, in the midst of all of this pain and sorrow? Well, we have the answer in verse 22. And Jeremiah writes this. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Jeremiah here acknowledges that what he and the people of Jerusalem deserved was to be utterly destroyed. What he and the people of Jerusalem deserved was to be consumed by God, and rightly so. For they had turned their back against God. They had broken his covenant. They worshipped idols. They oppressed the poor. They failed to administer proper justice. And they refused to listen to the warnings and the admonitions of the prophets of the Lord. In some cases, they even took those prophets and imprisoned them, as Jeremiah himself was imprisoned, and even put them to death. And for that reason alone, yes, they deserve to be utterly and completely consumed. But they weren't. And why were they not consumed? It is because of the Lord's mercies. And the word mercies here in verse 22 is the Hebrew word hesed, from which we get, which means covenant faithfulness and loving kindness. That's why God did not consume his people. That's why God withheld his anger from them, at least to some extent. It was because of his covenant faithfulness, his chesed, his loving kindness, which endures from generation to generation. God did not consume his people because he remembered his covenant, and he is faithful to his covenant. He promised Adam that one day the seed of the woman would come and he would crush the head of the serpent. He promised Abraham that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. He promised David that there would always be a man to sit on his throne, and that his kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom. But none of these promises would ever have come to fulfillment had God destroyed, had God consumed his people. And God knew this. And therefore, in spite of his burning wrath, he remembered mercy. He did not consume his people. But he caused them to be taken away to Babylon. And from those people in Babylon, some 70 years later, God would cause a remnant to return. And from that remnant came his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of the house and lineage of David. Now, whether Jeremiah saw all of these things when he wrote the words of our text, we don't know. It really doesn't matter, does it? What matters is that what he said was true. God was faithful. He did not utterly consume his people, but he remembered his covenant. And in the fullness of time, he caused his son, his only begotten son, to be born of a woman to save his people from their sins. Congregation, God is still the same today. Like the people of Judah and Jerusalem, we too have sinned against him. Look back upon this past year. How many times have we not sinned against the Lord? Think of the different types of sin that we've committed against God. Sins of omission. Sins of commission. Sins of thought. Sins of word. Sins of deed. Think of the sins that we've committed as individuals. As families. As congregation. Are they not more than we can count? And yet the Lord has not consumed us, has he? Oh, we deserve to be consumed, to be sure, but he doesn't. Instead, he's been faithful. And therefore, as we close out this year, we can say with Jeremiah, great, great, great is your faithfulness. But not only has God not consumed us, congregation, he has been so good to us. Just as our sins are more than we can count, so are his blessings. He has kept most of us here in good health and strength throughout this year that we could do our daily work. He has allowed us the privilege of coming together in his house twice every Lord's Day to hear his word. He's given us the sacraments for the strengthening of our faith. He supplied us with every material blessing, food and drink, clothing and shelter. He's provided us with work for our hands. And many others are out of work or short of work. He's given us the ability to provide for the needs of our families and our dependents, as well as the church and the kingdom of God. He's allowed us to begin construction on our new church building, which now, amazingly, after what has it been, 9 or 10 months, is almost nearing completion. Oh, has the Lord not been faithful? Can we not say, should we not say tonight, great is the faithfulness of God? Oh, indeed, the Lord has been very faithful. And why is that, do you think? Why do you think the Lord has been so good to us? Why do you think that Jeremiah in our text can say, great is your faithfulness? Oh, it's certainly not because of anything that we have done. For we have sinned, as we've also seen. Why then is God so faithful? Why is he so good? It's only because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, congregation, the reason why you and I are not consumed is because he was consumed on our behalf. And the reason why his compassions fail not, but are new every morning, is because he received no compassion. You say, when did he receive no compassion? Well, throughout his entire life. Especially at the end of his life. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was betrayed, he sweat great drops of blood as he pleaded with his Father to please let the cup of God's wrath pass from him. But his Father showed his Son no compassion. His Father refused. And he made his Son drink that cup to the last bitter dregs. And later, as he hung on the cross during the 3 hours of darkness, he cried out to his Father to have compassion upon him when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But again, his Father did not answer him. The gates of heaven were closed to him. And the Son of God descended into the very depths of hell. He was Jeremiah. He was suffering Jerusalem, personified. And everything that Jeremiah writes in chapter 3 at the beginning, before the words of our text, that all is about Christ. This is what He suffered. He became the object of God's eternal wrath. He was consumed by that wrath that you and I might not be. And He did all of this for sinners. And therefore we say, great is your faithfulness. In a few hours, the year 2011 will be no more. And it will pass into history like all the other years before it. What shall we say, congregation, as we stand at the threshold of a new year? And as we look back upon the year 2011, what shall we say? Oh, many things come to mind. Many things come to my mind. But of all the things that we might like to say, and of all the things that we might feel we need to say, let the words of our text tonight be the most prominent. And let these words echo throughout the upcoming year. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Also tomorrow morning, when again we gather together in the Lord's house, the Lord willing. And therefore great, great, great is the faithfulness of God. Amen. Now depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.